For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Cowboys, Browns, challenge, trouble? I think there might be.
I'm just looking at this, Jeff, like saying, yeah, this season feels different. You know, if Deshaun Watson is able to do 75% of what we've ever hoped him to do, I feel like this could be a great year. Somebody asked me, did you give a win prediction yet this year?
Gosh, no, I haven't.
Have you thought about it at all?
Sure, let's go 10.
I said 10 too. Somebody said to me over the weekend, how many games can they win this year? I go, look, I feel strong about 10-2. As even though what the over under
7
or 10-7, sorry.
10-2. 10-2 would be great, but
I was doing college.
10-7 finish would be bad.
I was doing college football there for a second.
Little bit of news, gentlemen, that has come down. The Cleveland Browns have announced that Cleveland Browns Stadium is now called Huntington Bank Field. Huntington Bank Field is the big one, a partnership struck with the Browns and Huntington Bank.
So, starting today?
Yep.
Huntington Bank Field.
Huntington Bank Field.
Columbus Stadium.
It's Huntington Park is their baseball field, isn't it, in Columbus? That's what it's called.
You're the Columbus guy.
Yeah, well, if I'm correct, I think. This is the
Huntington Bank
it's
Field.
It's a 20-year partnership with the bank for Huntington Bank Field.
Do they know the lease is up in 28? I mean, you would think a bank would do a little more research than that, right?
I hope so.
Should we honestly read into this and not like jokingly read into this?
Because
that's a thing that should be read into it.
Huntington Park.
What should be read into it is if they bought naming rights for 20 years, maybe they bought naming rights on the future
new
stadium,
yeah,
whether it's a dome or whether it's this one.
Yeah, I'd be interested to hear if that's the
Huntington Bank Field. I don't know about that.
Is it Huntington Bank Field or Huntington Field?
Huntington Bank Field.
I have it as Huntington Bank Field.
Huntington. Oh, here we go. Oh, Jeff Thomas.
According to the Cleveland Browns themselves and their press release.
You are an angel.
Thanks.
Way to go, Jeff.
Huntington
Bank Field. Okay. Looks like a stadium
not
to
me, confused with Huntington Park in Columbus.
Yeah?
Yes, where the Clippers play.
Tim from 102 had a great name this morning for the place.
What was he going to call it?
Phelps Field. And change the F in field to PH. I couldn't pony up that kind of cash, though. Still got a kid in college. Huntington Bank Field. So there you go.
I'm assuming Huntington is now the official bank of the Cleveland Browns.
If you don't like it, folks, well, I don't mean to be this blunt. Tough. Naming rights are a part of pro sports now, and that's not going away. So good for the Browns. They found a corporate sponsor. 20-year partnership includes stadium naming rights. So there you go. Huntington Bank Field.
Are we in trouble if we say Cleveland Browns Stadium anymore?
Yes.
That's the trouble?
Yes, you are.
You can't do that anymore.
And don't bring back the name of the other one. So there you go. That place has now had, what, three names? Yep. Cleveland Browns Stadium twice.
Yeah.
So there.
Do you like corporate names on stadiums?
No, I don't, but that's the way it goes, Andy.
Well,
I don't like
beer prices and ticket prices
like
went down, I
don't like corporate logos on uniforms either, and that's the way it goes.
Although
not
I will
Japan,
tell you this.
where Japanese teams are just named after corporations.
Oh, that's true. At least they still have names, and they still carry the city's name with it, right?
Not really.
What do you mean, not really? Here.
Oh, here, yes.
Yeah, I'm saying that.
Oh,
at least we still have names. I'm agreeing with you.
All right, so that's the way this goes. Huntington Bank Field. If you have any comments, 216-474-0092. But
how long will it take us to remember to say that? Saturday?
Now?
Sunday?
Down at the field. Games down at the field.
You can still kind of call it.
Cowboys coming to the field.
I think fans have
HBF.
Trouble. I think fans have trouble adopting that.
I think that's true.
Like, I remember my friends at Q104 were not happy with me when I was like, oh, I can't stand when corporations throw it down your throat that you got to start calling it a nickname. It's the cute nickname thing.
Why? You didn't like the Q?
No, you know what I didn't like?
It's Quicken Loans Arena. We're calling it the Q.
You know why I didn't like it? Because
they crammed it down your throat?
Yeah, a marketing department decided what you were going to say.
Yep.
And I'm like, so what's the nickname now for Huntington Field?
The field.
The hunt?
So I'm reading the Browns statement right here with the question that we had of what would happen if the field moved. This is according to Steve Steinor, who is Huntington Bank's chairman, president, and CEO. Quote, whether in the existing stadium or a new one, the Browns' commitment to Northeast Ohio will continue to spur significant economic growth and development for years to come, and we are excited to be a part of that future. Meaning, if they build a new stadium, it will also be known as Huntington Bank Field.
Okay.
The Hunting Dome.
I like the bank. Take it to the bank.
Oh, the bank.
My buddy's...
It's right down to the bank.
My buddy Jeff says, great, he's got money in that bank, so he feels like he owns it.
HBF?
Huntington Bank Field.
It's going to have a nickname. I'd rather have the fans come up with it.
Don't cram it down people's throats.
From a marketing aspect, yeah, from the team. Don't do that.
From a talk show standpoint.
Well, we can't sit here and brainstorm,
and we'll give it a name.
Why can't we brainstorm what people are actually going to call it?
Oh no! Don't turn this into Name the Guardians again. Please don't turn it into Name the Guardians.
Go ahead. What do you got, Jeff?
I've got it for you.
This is what fans do.
Hey, what kind of a defense do we have? We have a lockdown defense. It's the vault.
Oh, see, that just got sent to us via X as well, which our X mentions, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Dr. Bob sent in the vault that the dog pound now guards the vault.
The dogs are guarding the vault.
The vault, over at the vault.
The vault.
Do you remember, I don't know if you remember this, at the old Cleveland Coliseum, Society Bank had a Lowe's.
I'm sorry, the what?
At the old Richfield Coliseum, sorry. Sorry, at the
I thought you go in Cleveland Arena.
At the Brook Park.
It wasn't at the Brook Park Coliseum. Officially the Richfield Coliseum, I don't believe either.
What was it called?
The Coliseum.
Yeah. The Coliseum at Richfield?
No. Okay. Richfield didn't have anything to do with it.
So I don't know if you remember this, but.
Other than zip code.
And you remember the old Society Bank, right?
Yeah.
Do you remember the door on the suites there? It was very cool.
It had a vault. Yeah, like a vault.
It was a vault door. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that's genius.
That was pretty cool. Yeah. Frank's in Kent.
Good afternoon. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning to you, Frank.
Hey, maybe they could do vault doors on all the suites at the vault. At Huntington Bank Field.
At the vault.
Go ahead, Frank.
Oh, that's a good idea. They could vault the stadium at the concession stands.
You could put a vault retractable roof, Andy, and you got to get somebody up there to crank the vault to open the roof.
Or to get in, you'd have to do like the Price is Right, where you had to come up with the three numbers for the product.
$1, Bob.
Oh, by the way, I met the host of the Price is Right in Kent.
He's a Kent State grad.
I don't know if he himself admits he didn't graduate.
He's a Kent State student attendee.
I was sitting with Drew Carey, Ed Reyes, when the Flashes were in the Elite Eight.
Did you spin the wheel, Frank?
Frank, we don't care.
No,
Huntington Bank Field, is that okay?
Huh?
Huntington Bank Field, is that okay?
Well, it's okay, but my point is, where was Cleveland-based banks like Key Bank? Why couldn't they do this instead of a Columbus-based bank?
Frank, guess what? Their money spends just the same for the Haslams.
And by the way, what's going to happen when Haslam wants to move everything to Brook Park.
Apparently, the name goes with it.
Well, it's not a done deal. We don't want them in Brook Park. Do you want them there?
Okay, of course, 100%. Frank, you haven't listened to the show since we've gone on the air. We want a building you can use more than 15 times a year.
We'd prefer it have a roof on it. Now we want a vault thing on it. Cleveland is where we find John. Hello, John.
Hey, John.
Hey, afternoon, gentlemen.
Afternoon to you. Almost afternoon.
Hey, you guys are missing an obvious nickname for the Huntington.
We're not missing anything. We're wanting your suggestions, John.
Oh, well, the easiest would be the hunting field.
Hunting field.
To talk about the defense.
I don't think they want to. Their name is Huntington, so I don't think they want to shorten it.
We're talking about the fans here.
From a different standpoint. Yeah.
I got another. Thank you, John. Appreciate your call.
Thank you, John.
DT says dog hunt. Call it the dog hunt. Dog hunt. Dog pound. Huntington.
Are we shooting dogs? That's not good.
No. What are you talking about?
You're taking dogs with you on the hunt?
Yes. Come on, man. You never saw Fletch 2?
I like the vault.
No.
What?
Fletch 2. No.
Oh, come on. Fletch 2 wasn't bad.
No.
It was poor. I've seen worse 2s. Well,
just because worse exists doesn't mean you should watch bad.
Well, why do you have to belittle? I see you have an ailment. Oh, why, yes, I do. Never mind. Stop.
So on our X page, yes. Hollis brings up the fact that we can't call it the bank because the Ravens play at M&T Bank Stadium.
Well,
but who calls
banks?
M&T Bank Stadium the bank? No one calls it the bank.
Yeah.
Are they going to change all the colors inside to green? Green and white?
I don't know, Andy.
I don't know. Yeah, they're going to have to do a lot of green stuff.
I would think they're not going to change the colors of the team.
I don't think so either.
To fulfill a corporate sponsor.
Yeah, I mean, would we be
I've heard worse ideas. That seems like something that could happen.
Would we become the Greens then?
Andy,
here we go,
stop.
Greenies. Here we go.
Stop.
Oh, and then you know what you could do? The new sound. You know the sound when your card gets approved? When you go to the store? Mm-hmm. Dun, 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 dun. You know that sound?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that would. And so instead of.
Surprised you hear that sound, Dan.
Usually it's followed by decline.
It'd be worse if it went dun 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 dun.
All right, there's the new name of the field. If you have any comments, great. I'm going to call it the vault. You know why? Because I want to lock it in so that we can protect our quarterback. You need your quarterback under lock and key. We're going to hear how that might happen coming up next on Baskin and Phelps.
The vault.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
How about withdrawal?
We'll think of that.
All right. All right. Every time you go to buy a beer, every time you got to go to the...
I just had a terrible thought.
You got to go to the vendor?
You got to go to the bathroom. I got to get a withdrawal slip.
Oh, there you go. All right. I'll buy that one. That's good. The 500 level will now be 501.
All consumptions are known as deposits.
Yeah. Well, if...
Exactly. It'll play off of what you're saying.
When you, walk in, you'll be greeted by Wyatt Teller.
The whole Teller family needs to get employed.
Yes, they're
there.
All going to be worried.
We're going to need more than one Teller.
That's true. We need a lot of Tellers. Although everything's online now. So, everything in the 500 level will end with the letter C, like 503C.
Why C?
Isn't that savings deposit for your health college advantage plan?
It's I don't know. Oh, I see.
Or no, 503C is...
I see what you're doing.
Is
I see what you're doing.
Nonprofit.
All right. Well, regardless.
At 400 levels, all in UK.
And by the way...
Oh, you want to feed a family of four? Talk to this person for a home equity loan. You can go right off of that.
Oh, home equity. Thank you to our buddy Sam Amico.
Why?
Mr. Basketball. Mm-hmm. Text Dan. He didn't, text his old buddy Jeff, who he's known since he was...
No, it was up there on EX. He was on EX.
Since he was eight. Huntington Bank Stadium is the home of the Minnesota Golden Gophers. So it had to be Huntington Bank Field.
Right, and it couldn't be... it couldn't be Huntington Park, because that's what it is in Columbus already. That's where the Clippers play.
Well, and a football field is not really a park, is it? Candlestick Park. They played football in.
Is there another park? I'm just trying to think.
I don't think so.
Oh, people on our X mentions are wondering if we got to bring back the money phone.
Oh, yeah.
I can't hear.
Too much money in my hands.
Okay.
There's got to be some other bank.
So there you go. Huntington Bank Field, the new home of your Cleveland Browns.
I don't think people
the
hate it.
The new name for the old home of the Cleveland Browns.
People don't hate it.
Hey, Andy, why would you hate it? It's the company that's giving the Haslams money so they can help run the football team. Haslams have not ever balked at writing a check, and this will help.
Will you now get a free toaster when you buy season tickets?
True. All I know is I want to be a member of the Christmas Club.
Do these things even exist anymore?
I don't know. I hope so.
They just give cash now if you open a new account, right? Used to be back in the day you got things like appliances.
They give you smart speakers and that stuff now or
do you?
Headphones. Yeah, you'll see those every so often.
I'm going to the wrong bank.
So. If the team stinks, they'll give you a credit card so you can pay down the road. We got wins coming down the road here. Just pay up and...
There's a Deshaun joke here somewhere with cash. Getting paid early.
All right,
like early payday. Now Huntington can change the name of the thing. Call them. They can call their early payday stuff.
If it's a holiday, do you have to play on a Thursday then? Since you're closed on
I'm
Friday.
I'm actually going to walk myself out of this conversation before I get in huge trouble.
Yeah, so I was going to say.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Cowboys coming to town. They're coming to the field. Coming to the vault. Jerry Jones is going to be sitting in a safety deposit box.
If the statute of limitation on calling the Guardians the Indians is still in effect, like it doesn't matter if you call the Guardians the Indians still, which a lot of people still do by mistake, I think they'll be like Guardians Indians, Indians Guardians, right? How long will it take before you have to formally make sure you say Huntington Bank Field?
How often did you actually say Cleveland Browns Stadium?
I did all the time. Well, in the pregame show, I did.
You would say it in the pregame show Cleveland because Browns you were Stadium. Sitting there.
Where's the game at? Cleveland Browns Stadium. Okay.
I say it at halftime.
It's going to be awkward this weekend when we have to continue to say
better not Huntington be. You better Bank have Field. It written down in big numbers, big letters.
That's
right
what the Poobah does, baby.
Do
the Poobah makes sure
Do
you
it.
Get it right. Huntington Bank Field.
I'm more concerned about locking up the quarterback this week.
At
in other
Bank
words,
Field?
Keeping Micah Parsons away from him. And Mike is going to be looking at a left tackle and thinking, oh, fresh meat. Here's a guy who hasn't played left tackle in 10 years.
There's
and
no
he's
way.
He's lining up at left tackle.
Well, good. I hope Jack throws him out. I hope he pancakes him five or six times.
Kevin Stefanski maybe telling us yesterday that he's going to have a new left tackle. Here's his update on Jedrick Wills. Okay, the words there, I wouldn't call it a setback. Boom, he's not playing week one. If those words even come out of the coach's mouth, Jed's not playing week one, right? So we can assume that that's what's going to happen.
I don't know. I think that you start to regret, though, once you get to week three or four. How many permanents can you have in that IR? Do you remember? Is it two? I think it's...
Who are there for the year or guys you can bring back?
Are all IRs four games at a time?
No, some can be out for the year.
Yeah, I'm just trying to remember. But like, if Jed's got to miss more than two games, then you kind of have to wonder.
Yeah, well, that's probably valid. The move then would be move Jack Conklin over to left tackle. He's been lining up next to your guy, Bank Wyatt Teller, for a number of years now. Wyatt Teller on what Conklin moving to left tackle would do and mean. If he was playing right guard, yeah, that means Wyatt wouldn't be playing.
That's true.
So Wyatt's good with that.
And Tellers can't make mistakes at the stadium. Right?
Well, if they do, you'll get a...
They get audited at the end of the day.
You'll have your deposit slip. You'll know.
Yeah, should post-game show be called the audit now? Just making sure. Look, I'm just trying to work this thing for all it's worth.
Boy, could you use Bill Callahan right now, right?
Not necessarily.
Exactly the point, Andy.
Not necessarily.
Exactly the point. You have an offensive line coach. His name is Andy Dickerson.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be in more of a visual coming up this weekend because he's going to have to replace his left tackle with a guy who's played right tackle for about a decade. Here's Stefanski on his new offensive line coach, Andy Dickerson. Andy Dickerson does not have an easy job. And I say that more than anything, Andy, because of how much praise Bill Callahan received from the organization, the players, everybody else in his role as offensive line coach of this team. And nobody's fault. His kid got hired in Tennessee. He went to work with his kid. Fabulous. I think that's outstanding. But it does put Andy Dickerson in an interesting position because the guy he replaced was so well-respected. And here's Teller on Dickerson against Callahan. Just the two different kind of coaches. And there's no choice. I mean, you have to. That's where you are with this. And I hope that the line continues to play at a high level. You know, Joel Bitonio was really good before Bill Callahan came along.
Right.
And Wyatt Teller, same type of thing. Jack Conklin was really good. Now, Bill Callahan did a great job of orchestrating everything, and they always seemed to find a way when there were trouble spots, Andy, a guy out with an injury, to fill in and make it work. Last year, DeJuan Jones was that guy who stepped in when Jack Conklin went down and became really good, and working with Bill Callahan for a year certainly helped DeJuan Jones. But Wyatt just said, Jack had lined up next to him for, what, 4 or 5 years. Well, this might be year number two where he has DeJuan Jones lining up next to him. Here is Wyatt on the second-year player from Ohio State. Which is good because he's the teller. So DeJuan Jones can write his own checks.
Oh, all right.
Okay, we got to stop.
We got to be done.
Yeah,
we have killed this
Wyatt
joke.
Wyatt did it, and he did it a day early. Maybe they got a tip.
We have buried this joke. We have brought it back to life and then buried it a second time somehow in a half an hour.
It's kind of like a bounce check that's gone through twice. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, God, just stop.
You asked for it. I mean, you did. All right, no more fees. Let's go.
No.
Let's go.
Just stop. Make it stop.
Can I please get more than 0.003% interest on my savings account?
Sure.
Oh,
okay.
You can take that to the bank. Let's go.
Nate's in West Salem. Hi, Nate.
Hey, Nate.
Hey, good morning still. Okay, so your phone receiver there wasn't too impressed with this joke, but after
that's okay. We're not too impressed with him, so it's pretty equal.
Good. So after I pay my high prices for parking, the tickets, and the food, do I get to call?
So you get to call what?
You just blanked.
Bank robbery.
Oh. Might have worked if your phone hadn't died.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
All right. It's not your fault.
Right
there. No matter what. We didn't see anything in the preseason.
Yeah, we lost. We're losing. Nate, we're in bad shape. Thanks, man.
Okay, bye.
Phone's dying. Thanks, man. We appreciate you.
Nicer reception when you walk into the bank. No, there will be somebody there to greet you. No?
Yeah, uncle.
Uncle who?
Uncle, time to turn the page on the joke.
Yeah, uncle. I thought uncle was going to greet you.
Uncle Sam.
Andy was all agitated this morning. All agitated this morning.
Not really, but a little bit.
Yeah. Slightly agitated this morning.
Yeah, that's more.
We'll tell you why next on Baskin and Phelps. Andy was aggravated during our conference call today.
Do I need to explain this?
Well, I would think that would be better than me explaining agitation.
All right, you just have to tell me this because I think things, I don't know why.
Mandy at noon.
Help me out. Is this something that's been recent or has it always been like this? So I'm trying to pull out of my driveway this morning, and landscapers for somebody else's house were sitting there. And I love my neighbors, so I would never say or do anything or just because we do have a great neighborhood and our neighbors are fantastic.
They speak highly of you.
But I'm just like, you know how you got to cut it short? Like I almost had to drive over my lawn to get my car out of the driveway because they had taken up so much space on the street on the outside. The other thing that was a little irritating. They're parked in front of the fire hydrant. That's a little irritating, got to tell you. Like, I hope nothing happens on our street today.
Would get you or me a ticket.
I would think so. And then I started thinking about, you know, it's not only, and nothing, God bless the landscapers in Northeast Ohio. I was one for a long time, okay? I'm totally with you. I'm not mad at you. I just, it's a lot of times you take up half the road, especially if it's a two-lane road, and then everyone's got to play the old, oh, we got to park behind and go away. Like, can't you pull in the driveway? Like, why can't they pull in the driveway, especially for these monster homes that I drive by sometimes on the east side to get to my little poor palace on the other side of the town?
Nice.
So between that and then the other one, you know, that drives me nuts. It's for some reason delivery guys, and I know you're listening, and we love you too, but bro, man, do you got to park anywhere you want all the time? Like, what is so hard about using a driveway?
Do you think that that's a corporate policy?
Park wherever you want. I feel
it has to be that they're parking on the road because so many delivery trucks are parking on the road. And that's hazardous, not only for other cars, but for the drivers as well.
Yeah, but I kind of feel like they're getting pressure from the company to make as many deliveries as possible as fast as they can.
So
they know they're getting watched all the time.
Out of a driveway is...
I don't know. Someone's got to help me. Is it worse now than it's ever been before?
Some delivery companies will still pull in your driveway. Others might not.
Yeah, why is it so hard to pull in the driveway?
I don't know.
I kind of understand it for the landscapers because they're trying to get their work done.
They get a lot of stuff.
But man, I don't have a problem with. I mean, I don't have a huge problem with parking on the street because it's just. I mean, I grew up on tiny streets where you could barely get a car through if a car was parked on the side.
And people are parking on the streets.
But like,
anyway. Why
do people forget that? Like, you can't park in front of a fire hydrant. And last time I checked. That if there was one side of the street had a fire hydrant on it and the other one didn't, you're supposed to park on the side of the street that doesn't have a fire hydrant on it. At least that's the way it was growing up in Cleveland Heights. That's how you always knew what side of the street you could park on, the one that didn't have the fire hydrants. But that rule has kind of gone away too. I know, get off my lawn. I know that's what I sound like right now, but I don't get it. And I just like the whole notion of being able to stop and for delivery trucks, just stop wherever you want. And then drop it off. I get it even downtown. Like, it's tight downtown. I get it.
It's got to be some kind of a corporate policy that they don't want some of their drivers pulling into driveways.
You think?
Yeah. Because there are certain companies that will drive into your driveways and others that won't.
I got to believe if I was the insurance company, your percentage of accident has got to be way higher parking on the street than it would be on the...
And especially if your road's a little bad, you know, like up and down and blind spots and everything else. That's tough. So all there
right.
you go.
All right, I vented. Thank you. Thanks for listening.
It was almost kind of a get off my lawn segment since I dealt with guys who deal with lawns.
Oh, that is true.
Mm-hmm.
But just don't park in front of the fire hydrant.
So I'm listening to the Guardians game on Sunday.
Yeah.
And Alex Cobb had it going, right?
Yeah, he did.
And our buddy Tom Hamilton, who's an outstanding baseball play-by-play announcer, Tom comes on and... I'm probably missing the correct inning and everything else. But Tom says, we're through five innings, and Alex Cobb is perfect through five. He has a perfect game going through five innings.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, okay, that's a topic. Because a lot of folks think, oh, no, you can't talk about that. You can't talk about a no-hitter. You can't talk about a perfect game. And I agree completely with the way Tom did it. You got a perfect game going. Tell people. You want people to listen. Like a guy sitting in a booth up from home plate has anything to do with what happens on the field. Tom, if you're listening, well done.
I have mixed emotions on this because I believed in the Joe Tate way of doing things, and Joe didn't do it. Joe would never say it. And if you go back and listen to his call of Eckersley's no-hitter in 77, he would say things like, there's nothing on the board. He alluded to it without actually saying it.
Which is a fine way to do it.
Yeah, and I don't think that... I don't have a problem with Tom saying it.
An announcer jinxes anything.
Yeah, there's no
silly.
Way. Well, it's as silly as, like, I had a family thing in the morning, so I taped the game and I was trying to figure out when I was going to watch it later, and I got a text from somebody who said, there's something special going on at the ballpark. Okay. I knew exactly what they were saying without saying it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I knew exactly what it was. I was like, oh, first no-hitter since Len Barker. And then I wondered, I was like, it was Cobb, right? Wasn't it? It was Cobb. Yeah, so I was saying to myself, wow, I wonder if they'll let him finish it. And then I was like, if they don't let him finish it, that's a topic. That's what I thought right away. Same thing as you did. I don't have a problem with a play-by-play person that says no-hitter or says perfect game.
And if the pitcher loses it, you can't blame the play-by-play
guy. I'm not blaming
guy.
Them. No, I'm not mad. Now, me personally, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't say it.
You
because
wouldn't?
I appreciate, and I think it's Joe Tate's influence, right? Because I used to listen to that Eckersley no-hitter all the time when I was a kid. All the time. I listened to the last three innings. And, you know, I that's just kind of the way. And my dad would always say during a game, because my dad was our manager, he's like, you don't say things like that. Don't say no-hitter. Don't say, if you're on the bench, like, I understand it, because you don't want to get inside the pitcher's head. You want the pitcher just to go out there and throw. But the pitcher knows, right? The pitcher knows. But you just don't want to be the person. And then how about you don't make eye contact with the pitcher either?
Well,
or you don't talk to a starting pitcher on the day they start? I mean, like, some of these things are kind of silly.
Let's take that and throw it into the trash completely. Because Alex Cobb, during the game, now remember, he's coming back after being out with his finger situation, right? And he was on a pitch count. And he went up to Stephen Vogt during the game and he said, hey, look, I know you're not supposed to, you know, talk about these things. I know you got to do some things today. Don't be afraid to get a guy up, because that's another thing. You're not supposed to have anybody warming up in the bullpen when a guy's throwing a no-hitter or a perfect game. You know, because that puts a bad thought in everybody's head. Oh, wait a minute. You think he's coming out.
What's psychological? The whole thing's psychological.
But Stephen Vogt said that Cobb told him, yeah, get somebody up. And Cobb said the same thing. Yep, get somebody up. We're trying to win this thing. Got a bigger things going on.
But was he planning on doing it without Cobb saying something?
I don't know. Didn't have to, because Cobb did. Good, Alex, good for you.
I'm sure he was thinking it, though. He
knew. Good for you, Alex Cobb.
I'm sure he was thinking it, right? He had to have been.
Who?
Vogt. Had to have been thinking of doing it.
Well, yeah, but I would think he might have even gone up to him and said something. But, you know, that breaks one
I wouldn't
of those
take
taboos.
A perfect. I would not take a perfect game away from a guy, though. I wouldn't take it away from him.
No, except for one thing. The guy's just coming off the list. Had a bum finger, and you're hoping to go to the playoffs and win the whole thing. Cobb apparently lost a no-hitter really late. Was it the last batter? I think he took a no-hitter into the ninth inning. Threw 130 pitches. Woo-hoo-hoo! So you couldn't just roll him out and throw him 130, Andy. I mean, okay, great. Let's say you get a perfect game. That's wonderful. The team didn't bring you here to pitch a perfect game. It brought you here to help them get to the playoffs and World Series.
Although, I mean, if he's throwing a perfect game, he was at 80 pitches when they took him out, right?
He did give up two straight hits.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what number of pitch was it when he – if let's say he had made it through there.
Yeah.
Well, he probably would have been less than 80 pitches after giving up the hits, right?
If you're in a situation with a veteran pitcher and you're not in a pennant race, by God, you ask him, you good? You want to go? Yep, good, go. If you're Grady Sizemore and one of your pitchers, not named Garrett Crochet, has a perfect game going.
Sounds weird to say Grady's a manager still, but keep going. Yeah.
And you just say, hey, you want it? Yeah, give me the ball. Got it, go. We're going to win 30 this year.
You're going to be mad at me, but if he was at like sub 80 pitches coming out of the six, which he probably would have been, he would have been 70s plus.
If he was sub pitch count, yeah, absolutely.
What was the pitch count? Do we know what the exact number was?
I bet it was 80. 85.
Yeah, it was somewhere like there. I don't know.
But he had just given up two hits.
I'm just saying, though, if he hadn't given up the hits and it was still a perfect game, I mean, I'd feel horrible taking that away from him. I'd let him go. I'd let him go unless he. I would let him come up to me and do exactly what he did. I would let him come up to me and say, "Hey, let's do what's best for the team here. I know that we're all kind of on pins and needles because I just came off, you know, and off the IR, and there's this. I get it. Let him be the guy that decides that. Don't be the manager that pulled the guy from a perfect game, right?
Mm.
Don't be the manager that pulls a guy. Let the pitcher come up to you and say, hey, let's do what's right for the team. I know that how would you feel going out to the mound and taking the ball from a guy who's got a perfect game through six and was 75 pitches?
I wouldn't take him out during the inning.
You'd talk about it in the dugout in between.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'd let him finish whatever inning he was in.
I would have let
him. And Cobb did something really cool, which he waved to the crowd, which was nice. You don't see a lot of that these days.
No, oh no, you should get thrown at for doing that. Oh, wait, you can't anymore, pitchers. Yeah, you're right. Or no, you should throw at a batter to do that. Silly. I wouldn't have pulled him. I'm just being honest with you.
He was at 105 pitches.
105 is different, though.
If he's at 105 after seven.
He was looking good, though.
Well,
he was in his 70s. The 70s.
And he got hit
80,
by a line drive.
Well, that didn't help any either.
No.
80. If you thought he could come under 100, somewhere between 195 pitches to pull off the perfect game, I would have sent him back out there. Hmm. I mean, look, I'm not getting paid to be a Major League Baseball manager, but I think it'd be really hard to pull a guy. It's not even a no-hitter, right? It's throwing a perfect game.
Well, those are really rare. We haven't seen one here since when? 1981?
Yes.
May 15th. I saw Lenny the other day.
Oh, what, did he say hi?
Yeah, he did, actually.
Ding!
Yeah. Mandy Bell covers the Guardians for MLB.com. Mandy's next. Mary Kay Cabot covers the Browns for Cleveland.com. She's at 1. Mandy, coming up on Baskin and Phelps.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.